You're listening to the RPC Sermons Podcast. Today's episode is a special episode from our Lenten Facebook Live series entitled Closing the Distance. These are unscripted conversations with the pastors of RPC and various special guests reflecting on topics from our ongoing sermon series. If you're interested in learning more about this community of faith, visit roswellprez.org.
Great. Well, welcome once again to Closing the Distance, an opportunity we get to speak to the preaching pastor about the message of the previous week. And we are in the midst of a sermon series through the season of Lent, looking at various well-known prayers and the people who wrote them. And so I think, what is this, week four? Is this the fourth one?
Yeah.
The one we just did? So we started with the Lord's Prayer, then we looked at Niebuhr and in his prayer, the Serenity Prayer. Then we, what was next? Then it was
the Instrument of Peace Prayer.
Oh yeah, St. Francis of Assisi, right? And then Sunday was St. Patrick.
Yep.
And again, you uncovered a little bit of the story of St. Patrick and who St. Patrick was and his teenage years and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a really interesting series, I think, and challenging. So as you kind of move along in the sermon series, but particularly in regard to Sunday, I mean, tell those or remind us again just the significance of St. Patrick and why you chose to highlight him and his prayer in this season.
So I tried to pick seven prayers that folks might be at least familiar with or that they should be familiar with, that have kind of been representative of prayer in general. So we do deal with some different topics and themes, but also that have held the test of time. Like, I think, you know, they've worked across cultures and different times and places. And so I wanted to kind of have a, they're not just, yes, they were really helpful in this one moment in time, but they've also been drawn up and used in other contexts and places and have been reused and reused again. And I think that's really helpful for us to have in our kind of toolbox of spirituality, that these prayers that we can turn to, especially when we maybe don't know what to pray.
Yeah, so St. Patrick is, I mean, sometimes referred to as the Christ prayer, you know, or, you know, Christ be in me, Christ be beside me, Christ be before me. Just Patrick recognizing there that in every circumstance in which he found himself, Christ was there ahead of him, behind him, before him. And again, a really powerful reminder of, for Patrick, and then, you know, on to us, of his place in God's work and the fellowship that he was able to share with others through the body of Christ.
Yeah. So, I kind of focused in on what I think is the most famous that I was familiar part of the prayer, but it goes on. It's often referred to as Patrick's breastplate, which is a very Catholic.
Right.
Kind of, you can see a kind of lot of interesting iconography that comes along with it. It's, you know, been made into posters and, you know,
Yes. You
know, put on your bathroom mirror and all kind of, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I think it's really neat. And, you know, stuff that prayers that have been around that long, if we're let's say it's original to the 5th century. I mean, that's 1500 years.
That's a good while.
They, you know, they change over time, you know, according, they get retranslated in different ways. So I don't want to go too much into the historical, because I'm not a historian. I don't, that's not really my purpose, but more as a devotional text. How can this be helpful in whatever, in the form I've kind of chosen arbitrarily, hopefully it be as helpful as possible for folks.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the response that I have heard from you know, different people after different services, that all of these have kind of struck a chord in a way that maybe was surprising even to them, right? I mean, might have, again, be vaguely familiar with some of these people, historically know the names. Obviously, St. Patrick, you know, we're about to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, you know, this coming Sunday. And so we're like, oh, we know who he is. What, you know, what is his theology or prayer life have to do with green beer? I have no idea. So, I'm just kind of wondering those things. But, apart from the very first one, which was the Lord's Prayer, which we're very familiar with and in our tradition repeat, at least weekly and maybe more. Yeah. The others, again, we've seen captured in posters or, whatever, but they, in the way that you in particular have kind of uncovered these, that they seem to be, have come alive in a way that seems to be applicable to our context even now. Like you said, this prayer that we discussed on Sunday is 1500 years old. And yet, in many ways has stood the test of time. And so what would you say, particularly with St. Patrick's prayer, the breastplate, if you like, for our Catholic friends, or maybe, it'll come into the Presbyterian lexicon as well. What would you say you would think it would be applicable in our lives and our context in that prayer now?
So I think, to see my life as participating via the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, to not see myself, there's an important distinction, I think, between, there's this famous book, Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, that Jesus is a model that we should aspire to emulate.
Right.
I think, we do this in all sorts of ways other than that book, but like, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets and all
that. Yes.
And just for me, that's like really hard, A, to think about, would Jesus go over this speed limit? I don't know. Would he pick up strangers, the hitchhikers? Would Jesus have, enrolled his family in healthcare, or would he kind of, wing it thinking he could heal? There's all these questions that it's really hard when I think of, with my life, what Jesus yes. would do. So a more helpful way, I think, to think about it, right, if you have imitatio or imitation, and then there's this Pauline idea of participation or participatio, that in some ways my life and the Holy Spirit is participating in Christ's life. And therefore, how does Christ's likeness, or what God has done for me in Jesus Christ, transform my life? As I experience God's grace, it's going to flow out in various ways, hopefully. And it's a little less trying to imitate than experiencing God's love. And then it kind of has a transformative impact. And I think this prayer helps us recognize our participation in Christ via the Holy Spirit. That's kind of my thinking.
Yeah. Again, that makes sense. So rather than feeling that these people or these prayers are distant from us and unconnected to our reality, it's a way of actually recognizing that the reality that they experience and we experience is similar, and it helps us engage or think about engaging with the world in different ways through these prayers and through understanding their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and I was thinking with the I guarantee you, if you start praying this prayer sincerely once a day, that your life, you will begin to experience Christ and Christ's presence in ways that you never had before. And right. I think it's just really hard to do because we get distracted, we get tired, And I think I close with that Marilyn Robinson section from her book, Gilead. And she has this great question, I need to treat people as a question that God is asking of me. I need to ask, what is God asking of me through this conversation, through this person, all this? And once you start doing that, that really transforms your relationship. Is Christ asking me to get really angry at this person that's really irritating?
Right.
Well, seems like Christ is calling me to be patient. Christ is calling me to forgive. Christ is, and that's just really hard to do. And I think this prayer is just a helpful way to almost by osmosis help us see the image of God in others, see how we are equal as children of God in our relationships and things like that. So that would be helpful as a spiritual practice.
So you and I, a couple of weeks ago, talked about, after the Serenity Prayer, talked about prayer and kind of understanding the purpose of prayer and you know, a little bit about the question, you know, if God is omniscient, all-knowing, what's the purpose of prayer? Like, why do we need to pray? And so when I think about this prayer or other ones, so for instance, a lot of people, I personally try to practice what's called an awareness examine. So an awareness examine is kind of an end of the day conclusion of, where did I see God at work? You know, where did I see or feel, sense God absent? Or, you know, where did I experience love? Where did I express love? All those kind of things. And that's, it's a kind of prayer, but it's also going back and reflecting on my day, which means that the next day I'm more heightened, I'm more aware of God's presence in those things because I've reflected on it the previous day. And so I'm kind of alert to those things. So that's what you're saying here in many ways. As I pray this Christ prayer of St. Patrick, not only does it kind of remind me of Christ in all these circumstances, but it alerts me to them in the future. Like, it kind of, raises our antenna, if you like, to kind of see that in circumstances that we might overlook it or miss it, just kind of dismiss, even in the midst of, like you said, our busyness and our hectic lives. Like, pausing to do that helps us recognize, oh, God is present. Christ is before me. Christ went before me in this conflict that I'm having with this person. And Christ is in the midst of this conflict. Now, how does that help me deal with this, whatever issues going on or the conflict that's happening?
Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. Yeah. And raising our attention, you know, so much of the spiritual life. We're going to talk about Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton, in 2 weeks, about one of his famous prayers. He defines prayer as to pay loving attention.
Yep.
And I think most of us sleepwalk through life, unfortunately.
Yeah. I snuck ahead and looked at that prayer. Thomas Merton's prayer, you know, just thinking, oh, what's coming up? And I read it the other day and I was like, oh, interesting. That's, again, powerful. And I don't know if I was familiar with that one so much. And of course, this week, you know, it's St. Teresa of Avila.
Yeah, what do you think about her prayer? Give us a little.
Oh, we don't have preaching team on days when you're not preaching. So I kind of keep it close to the chest. But again, this is the only woman that's highlighted in this series. But an amazing story, and yet not one very distant from our own experience. But again, we can look at these prayers and for this coming Sunday, St. Teresa, there were several that I found, and I've shared them with Trenton and Betsy and that kind of stuff, and we're incorporating them into other aspects of the service, which is really cool because they're just beautiful prayers. So we can read these beautiful prayers and think, oh, it's St. Teresa, and think, wow, she was an exceptional person and I'm not. Mm-hmm. Right. And feel this distance. But as we come to hear all their stories, you know, Patrick's story and St. Teresa's story and, you know, even Niebuhr's story, all those, we recognize their humanity is much like my humanity.
Yes, so, absolutely. And I think, like, one of my intentions with this series was, you know, so I think if you've been around church long enough, churches, we talk maybe about prayer in the abstract, like, okay, what's a theology of prayer? There we go. Okay, moving on. Whereas I was hoping that this could be much more practical, that, like, okay, this is, let's do prayer. And in doing it, in praying, we'll learn what prayer is.
Right.
And it's not so much like as a objective thing, but it's subjectively, as we enter into prayer, we learn all of this about prayer. But it's really hard to experience it or know about it out as an academic discipline or something like
that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. If it's simply academic, then it's something that's reserved for corporate worship or before meals or whatever. But Paul reminds us, exhorts us, you know, to pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I can't work? you know, or I can't, you know, I've got a life. I can't pray without ceasing. If we have this image of prayer as this isolated solitude, walking a labyrinth, or, you know, but again, if we're praying without ceasing, that's not it at all. And so this St. Patrick's prayer in particular, I think of so far in this series, is one that, you know, highlights the everyday nature, the constant kind of conversation and awareness we're having in our relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really strong. Good stuff. I don't know who encouraged you to do this series, but well done.
Man, I think it was a gift for Lindsay Slocum. I think before she left, she kind of threw it. She's like, I forget how it was, like in a conversation. Megan Greenwald might remember, but, and then I was like, oh, that is a good idea.
It's always good to have good people around. That always makes you look better, you know.
It's always good to steal other people's good ideas.
Absolutely. When I was leading worship before I came here, and I like Trenton, I'm not nearly as gifted as Trenton. But I'd surround myself with people who are really good, and people are like, Dan, you're amazing. He's like, actually, just smart. I put good voices and good instrumentalists around me, and everyone thinks I'm doing well, but no, I'm just hiding behind them. So, well, you do that well too. You're welcome.
So it's good though.
All right. So kind of as an aside, uh-huh. Not much to do with prayer, unless there's anything else you want to highlight, because I have some questions that don't have nothing to do with prayer. So is there anything else from the sermon from Sunday or the whole series that you think, you know, this is something that I overlooked or wasn't able to get into my sermon on Sunday?
No, I mean, there was some stuff that it'll appear later on, but I think I was able to say kind of what I wanted to say. And
His life story is fascinating to know that he was, you know, he was taken from his family as a teenager and taken as a slave, essentially, into Ireland, and then chooses to go back there, or responds to God's call to go back there to serve those people. I mean, most of us would have been like, heck no, I'm not going back there. I don't like those people, you know, but.
Oh, yeah, it's remarkable. So yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. So people who are listening may not know, but there's a bit of a competition amongst the staff to guess the future name of the Myers child. And so we're just, you know, I didn't know if you could give us any insight. Like, we know it's a girl, right? We're pretty sure
it's
that
it's a girl. Yeah.
And when's the due date?
It's going to be on April 6th.
Okay.
The week after Easter.
Right. Yeah, that's good. You timed this well, because when Memphis was born, it was right around Christmas time. We're not sure why you add this additional stress to the two, you know, major holidays in the Christian calendar year. You're like, well, let's have a baby around then too. That'd be great. Good timing.
It's crazy.
So the big question among staff is, now we have a major and a Memphis. So just wondering, like, is it an M for sure?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the final decision has not been made. We got some ideas.
Okay.
We really haven't, you know, zeroed in. So
you're still taking suggestions. So I got, you know, someone has some ideas for a good M name. I was thinking like Moira.
Oh, interesting. I like it. You know, so I'm always like, because, you know, here's the problem with names, right? Is like, you have a name that you like, you identify with other people you've known by that name. Right. And you have good connotations. Yeah. So, and then you bring two people, you know, as parents, and they're, you know, they each have their own connotations. Yeah. So really, like, when you get to it, like, oftentimes you're left with very few options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Especially if you know anyone who has been a teacher. They're like, oh, no, can't have that name. That kid drove me crazy for a whole year.
I think that's why we cycle through names. Like, you never meet, like, a Jeff anymore. Like a baby. Oh, they named their baby Jeff. It's because everybody who's having kids right now knows a Jeff, and it's like, no good. It's like, no good. That's off the table. And it's only those kids, when they have kids, they're going to, I don't know any Jeffs. Let's do it. You know?
That's right. I never thought about that. That's probably true. All right. Well, again, I don't know that you're taking recommendations, but you know, if anyone has anything, you know, maybe they could share. Because again, the more kids you have, it also gets more difficult. Because you're like, oh, we use the guy, the boy, and the girl that we thought this is good, and now it's the negotiating is a little bit more intense between husband and wife as we think about number three
That's
or number
kids
four.
As well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we ran out of names. We just throwing stuff at the wall. Jason just like, I don't know, that's all that's left. I got nothing. So hopefully he doesn't see this and realize it.
I think he's probably fine.
All right, so this week coming up, it's the 5th. So we finished on Palm Sunday, right, with this series, and then obviously Easter is.
No, Easter we're going to do an Easter prayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
All right.
It's one actually I wasn't familiar with. I had to kind of do some deep digging to find it, a prayer that I want to use that was appropriate for Easter. So I think people will like it.
Good. Oh, that's excellent. So this week, as we've already mentioned, I'm preaching.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see. But good. St. Teresa of Avila. So again, if you have the booklet or you can go online and again, be reading that prayer and thinking about, you know, how might God use this or use me in this circumstance, and what is it about this prayer or the ones that have gone previously that can alert me or awake me to all of God's work in my life and in my surroundings. So
awesome.
Again, I appreciate this sermon series, and I've enjoyed your messages through it, and I just hope I'm up to the task on Sunday.
You'll be fine. Well, you're not Palm Sunday. You're this Sunday.
I'm this Sunday, yeah. St. Patrick's Sunday. Day, which, there's a question. Like, why wasn't St. Patrick's prayer on Sunday? I mean, you had the perfect opportunity.
Well, because I thought it would be better to be able to pray the St. Patrick's Day prayer in preparation for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And remember, there was a little scheduling.
Yeah, there always is.
As well, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
Sunday
that.
This Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. The following Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that is Easter Sunday.
Yes, it's coming quickly. And again, we did pretty well this past Sunday, even though it was daylight savings. Most people stayed awake. Most people got there on time. That was excellent. So we should be in the groove by this week. So hopefully, I don't put people to sleep.
I hope so. No, they'll be there.
All right. Well, thank you again, Jeff.
Thanks so much, man.
Hey, do you have any picks? Last thing, any picks? March Madness. Who do you think? Give me four. The top
Gonzaga,
four in
Gonzaga, Arizona, Houston. Although they think they got an injury, and UConn.
Oh yeah, Tennessee was doing great, and then they just lost to Kentucky at home.
But, yeah, just there's a lot of parity in the you know in college basketball this year. You know,
yeah, all there is.
The really good ones go to the NBA, so they're you kind of have much tighter talent pool, I think.
Yeah, and even in those lower seeds, I you know, is there any predictions about maybe a upper seed that you think will get knocked out early?
I don't know. You know, I've watched so much NBA basketball this year. I need to get up to speed on my college basketball. It's just with all of them transferring so often, it's hard to like get really invested because then they move to another.
They go somewhere else. I know. I know. There's no allegiance anymore. What's wrong with them?
I know. It's like after this year, we know Pac-12.
Yeah, so. Crazy.
Anyway, it's
all right. Well, yep.
All right, bud. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.